Good afternoon. Of course, enormous week for us here with a big home game versus our division opponent in the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, there's a lot of ramifications on this game for both teams. It's really creating an exciting environment around here as we prepare. I'm sure it's doing the same for them. We started that process yesterday with our football team reviewing Sunday's performance. Quick assessment of Sunday's performance. Obviously, not enough of the significant plays in the waning moments to secure victory. A lot of positive things in the game, obviously. Hard-fought, close football game in a hostile environment versus a team that had things on the line as well. But, again, not enough significant plays and really had opportunities in all three phases. Saw some glimpses of some good things, obviously. I thought it was a positive sign that we played virtually penalty-free football in that game. But, again, we need the significant plays at the moments, particularly when you're in a hostile environment, to secure victory. I was starting to believe that we were capable of doing some of those things after starting the season 0-3 on the road. I thought that we had an opportunity there to finish out strong with a 4-4 record. We didn't do it. But we move on to this week's opportunity. Looking at us from an injury standpoint, there are a few to mention. In-game injuries, Emmanuel Sanders had a rib injury. He'll be monitored this week and obviously limited at the early portions of the week. We'll gauge how he works, if he's going to be able to participate. Ike Taylor will remain out with his ankle injury. DeMarcus Van Dyke is out with a shoulder dislocation. He'll be placed on IR. He'll be replaced on our 53-man roster by Justin King, a Pittsburgh native, a Penn State man, a guy who's a veteran NFL corner, has played some time in this league. He's in the building as we speak, kind of getting up to speed with what it is that we do. Obviously, he was a shortlist guy for us. We worked him out a number of weeks ago and have been in pretty good communication with him. So he should be a quick study and a guy that fits in quickly around here, and we'll get a sense of what he's capable of doing through the course of the week, and maybe he's able to help us in this football game. Mike Adams appears to be ready to practice. We'll gauge and watch him during the course of the week in practice in terms of determining whether or not he can help us. Cortez Allen is scheduled to practice and participate. Again, we'll watch him during the course of the week as we prepare. And Keenan Lewis, although he had a re-injury of the hip flexor in the game and wasn't able to go back in the game, we're optimistic that he's going to get some work. He's probably going to be limited early portions of the week, but he's going to get work and participate in the game. So largely some good news from an injury standpoint, and that's, of course, much appreciated given our challenges this week. I'll start by talking a little bit about the Bengals' offense. I think it starts first with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. He's a 1,000-yard rusher, consistent ball carrier. He's got a consistent run demeanor, always falls forward, kind of a one-cut runner kind of a guy. He's had explosion plays for him over the last several weeks as they've been a very hot team. He's been a significant part of that, providing consistent run game for them, but also providing some splash. He's had a number of big carries. He is their primary ball carrier with over 250 carries for the season, 6 touchdowns. Leading receiver, of course, is A.J. Green. He's a 1,200-yard receiver, extremely talented. We're familiar with him and what he's capable of. He's both big, fast, and quick to speed. He plays to a size down the field, of course, plays the ball above eye level. It's going to be a challenge for our defensive backs. I like the developing rapport with their tight end, Gretchen and Andy Dalton. You know, he's at 700 yards receiving for the year. Big vertical threat. It's going to be a matchup issue. Anytime you're talking about tight ends with a skill set of his, it's a matchup issue for linebackers. And, of course, it's a size issue for safety. Hawkins in the interior has been a big component of what they're doing, particularly on third downs. He has created issues for us in the past. In third downs, he's also a good gadget guy, reverses and wide receiver screens and so forth. Been a consistent weapon for them. And, of course, Andy Dalton, he's a guy that distributes it all. He does a nice job of making quick decisions, takes care of the football, has very good escapability and mobility, very underrated in that area. We're going to have our hands full, not only in terms of rushing him, but containing him, keeping him in the pocket. They utilize all his skill sets with misdirection passes, and they'll throw screens to anyone, tight ends, backs, wide receivers. On defense, it's about their front and their ability to break pockets down. Geno Atkins, I think, is having an exceptional year as an interior rusher with over 10 sacks. He breaks down the interior of the pocket, doesn't allow quarterbacks to slide up into the pocket and deliver passes. It makes for a nice edge for their edge rushers, and Johnson and Dunlap and Gathers and others. They of course, play a 7- and 8-man rotation in their front. They got a nice system in which they rush the passer. Their rush is very highly coordinated, and those guys work well together. In the secondary, it's just a veteran group. I think that since they reacquired Crocker, boy, things have been rock solid for them. He has 3 interceptions. He's partnered with Nelson, who's doing a rock solid job for them, not only in terms of pass defense, but they got some pressure packages where they bring him up off the open side, and he's made a significant number of plays since the last time we've played these guys in that area for him on third down and some pressure packages. Of course, they got a rock solid corner tandem in Newman and Hall and other savvy veterans such as Nate Clements also in that rotation. Solid return game in the special teams game. We got to be ready to deal with Adam Jones. He's over 14 yards per return on the season. He's already got a touchdown. He's always big play capable. And, of course, Brandon Tate has distinguished himself at right around 25 yards per kickoff return. A lot of work to do. Excited about doing it, as I'm sure they are in Cincinnati as well. I'll be happy to address any questions.
Mike, you mentioned the significant plays last Sunday. Does it concern you at all that the lack of significant plays came at the hands of some of your more trusted players?
You know, usually they're the ones that deliver them, and when they don't, usually they're the ones that don't, and that's the difference between winning and losing. And I think, you know, our frontline players, if you will, our established players, accept responsibility for that and really embrace the responsibility that goes along with that.
Coach, after the game, Ben talked about taking that responsibility. You also kind of questioned some of the play calling. Emotional, frustrating after loss. But as you move forward, is he on the same page with the offensive coordinator?
Yes, he is. And it's just as you stated, you know, that was a tough, hard-fought football game, an emotional one. And when you come up short, there's frustrations associated with that, the natural frustrations associated with that. And I'm sure if anything was read into his comments, it was just that. I met with Ben yesterday, and he's ready to move forward with this week, and he's on board with what it is we're doing.
Do you think there was anything on Ben's part why Heath didn't get the ball more often in the second half, Mike?
With what?
With why maybe Heath didn't get the ball more often in the second half. Was that as a result of Ben not giving him the ball, the play calling?
You know, obviously he was an eligible receiver on a number of pass routes. Now, maybe in some instances he was covered. Maybe in other instances Ben chose another option. Maybe sometimes other options were dictated by coverage. Heath is a big part of what we do. He was an effective weapon for us, particularly in the first half of that football game, and he will be moving forward. For us, it's just about finding the necessary combination of plays to win. That needs to be our focus, and had we done that, that might not be a topic of discussion, so that's where we're going to focus our energies.
Mike, is there any timetable on Ike's return other than just a week-to-week thing? Is it not progressing as quickly as you thought at normal? What?
It is progressing rather well. I saw him yesterday, and he wasn't in his boot. He's been given permission to move out of that and start some other things. It's progressing nicely, and I hadn't, of course, received an update officially for this week, but obviously he's out. But I like the nature of the progress that he's attaining.
With the corner injuries that you've sustained, what's the best way of going about trying to deal with a guy like Green? Is it throw different bodies at him, give him different looks? How do you best answer this about Ike?
Well, you know, right now we anticipate having Cortez Allen and Kenan Lewis, and, of course, they're very capable professionals, guys that have played a lot of ball for us, guys that are capable of standing up and covering people regardless of circumstance. Obviously, we'll have a contingency plan if those one or more of those guys are unavailable. But as we sit here, we anticipate having those guys, and, you know, we're going to do what we normally do.
Mike, any thoughts to changes in the running back rotation with Rashard coming back? Will he be given a shot this week, or are you still happy with Dwyer as your starter?
I'm happy with the rotation as it is now. I look forward to getting Rashard back in the building and participating with his teammates and kind of letting that participation lead us in terms of etching out a potential role for him.
Mike, do you see any possible additional involvement for Plex in the offense?
Again, that depends on helmet availability at this point, and to a degree, some of that availability has been dictated by injury, not only at his position but others. You know, we'd like to include him in the plan. Obviously, he has a skill set that we could utilize, but all of those things are kind of interwoven as we put together and formulate a game plan, and usually health and health of the team is a factor in that. So can't answer that at this time.
Mike, as far as the run game, at times you've had success, at times you haven't, but it seems consistently that you haven't really been going to it a lot. It's been, I think, three out of the last five, your leading rusher has had less than 10 carries. Would you like to see the running backs get the ball more, or is that just a product of them not being productive enough?
I would like to see them get it more, particularly a defined featured runner. We haven't for a variety of reasons. We're not going to make excuses for that, but we're excited about the plan that we potentially have put together this week. We were successful against running the ball against these guys the last time. We don't anticipate that it being easy just because that's been our past experience, but we are comfortable with the formulation of the plan, and we look forward to having those guys being a big part of what it is we do.
So there's a lot of factors. How much do the injuries to the offensive line and the changes, the constant changes, kind of play into that?
It's all interrelated, not only injuries within the offensive line, but in the backfield itself and of course, game circumstances. But, you know, they are what they are. We're excited about the plan that we're putting together today.
And Mike, given the attention that any quarterback signs are made, any starting quarterback signs are made in the league, you know, heat of the moment or, you know, the frustration, all that, is that why one reason why you talked to him yesterday, just to make sure that everything's even keel?
No, I meet with Ben every Monday after football games, regardless of outcome.
He had mentioned that he changed the play on the touchdown pass to Heath. Is that, are you okay with that, or is that a typical audible?
He changed the play?
Yeah, he said that he changed, the play was called for a different play when he threw the touchdown pass to Heath. He called the play to Heath.
Yeah, that happens all the time during the course of football games for us, particularly with a veteran quarterback. So, you know, that's really a non-issue.
What are the circumstances that lead to decide to go to no huddle or to not use it?
You know, it depends on what it is that we're doing. It depends on how the teams that we play respond to the utilization of it, if it reduces their menu in any way, if it reduces their personnel packages in any way, if they struggle to make diverse calls under those circumstances. There's a myriad of reasons why we go to it, and usually it's interrelated based on game circumstances and some of the things that I just mentioned.
Is part of the equation the quarterback's comfortability with running that?
Oh, certainly, particularly based on the looks that we're seeing in any given game. In some games, of course, the utilization of it is easier than others, particularly on the quarterback.
Mike, how are you dealing with Antonio Brown? He had another fumble the last game, and there was another, what looked like a mental error when he failed to stay in bounds and stop the clock on that third down play.
You know, that was a mental error on his part. Although he's an accomplished player for us, he's a young one. We're just going to continue to work with him and help him gain a better understanding of situational football. He acknowledges it as such. In regards to the fumbles, of course, he's got to do a better job of hanging on to the football. That was a significant play in the game. He's a dangerous return man, one that can be an asset to us. We'll continue to work with him in that regard as well.
You going to keep him on punt returns?
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, how was David DeCastro, especially working with Kelton Beecham together? That's extreme inexperience on the right side of your offensive line.
Thanks for extreme inexperience. I thought they did a nice job. Both sharp, intelligent young men. They did a nice job of communicating during the course of the football game. Very few, if any, mental errors, not only from David, but from Beecham. You know, that's arrow pointed up on those two. Been really excited about their contributions. Obviously, it's less than ideal circumstances. They're getting on a moving train, if you will. But I like the way they've represented themselves to this point. But they've got a ridiculous challenge this week in Geno Atkins and Dunlap. So the jury's still out on that group.
Mike, could you please clarify, at the end of the game, when Dallas was showing you field goal, then they called timeout, then they showed you punt, and then you called timeout, why did you have to call the timeout there, and why'd you switch your guys in that situation?
At one point, we had defense to stay on the field for obvious reasons. The ball was at or around midfield. During the course of that timeout, when they made the decision to punt, we decided to take our defense to stay off the field and put our punt return team on the field. Minor adjustments schematically, the difference between some defense alignment on the field and some pure special teamers, simply schematics.
If you had had two timeouts left, would you have gone for anything after the touchback with 25 left, or did that not?
Really, that's what constituted the timeout. We were going to take maybe an opportunity to return the punt and let the result of that punt return dictate how we play. But we're not going to get a great punt return, of course, with defensive stay personnel out there. That's why we called it.
Were you concerned about a fake after what happened with San Diego?
Initially, just based on field position, but once they went to punt formation, we were comfortable with the fact that they were going to punt the football, given the game circumstances. That's why I went to the defensive, the punt return unit, in an effort to get a good return.
And speaking of punt returns, who decides how far the returner stands back? Is that up to him? Is there a standard amount of yardage based on wind conditions and all that stuff?
It's formulated in two ways, based off a tape study leading up to the game, but also in some of the pregame warm-ups in terms of some of the kicking that the specialists do in pregame warm-ups. So you get an in-stadium perspective with weather conditions, wind, and so forth, and you also have the video. So it's a combination of those two, and it's subject to change during the course of a football game, of course.
Was Antonio lined up where he should have been lined up?
He was, but I still think he had an opportunity to close the distance on that ball and fair catch it. We don't want those balls on the ground, if at all possible.
How would you assess Josh Vitorian's play last Sunday?
You know, I thought he was solid at times. You know, I thought he did a nice job of staying close and tackling the catch and minimizing yards after catch. Obviously, they were throwing a number of balls at him. We anticipated that. They got a veteran receiving group and quarterback. They realized that he was an inexperienced guy. But largely, I thought he answered the bell for us, particularly with his ability to absorb the number of snaps that he was able to. With the injury sustained to DeMarcus Van Dyke at the early portions of the game, obviously, a young man in his position ended up playing a lot more defense and special teams than we anticipated in that football game.
Mike, on Mondays, does your message to the team change a lot from week to week, depending on the circumstances of the team? And with the obvious importance of this game, what would it have been yesterday?
The structure of it really doesn't change. Obviously, the subject or what's discussed is pertinent to where we are, but the structure in which we go about it is relatively the same on a week-to-week basis.
Mike, when you hired Todd Haley as your offensive coordinator, you were very excited about where this offense can go. 14 games in, is it where you expected it would be? Is there a direction you'd like it to go?
I like the direction that we're moving. I'm not satisfied with where we are, but I could use those words to characterize our team and our record as well. We've gotten a lot of the things that we desired to get accomplished to this point, but obviously winning games is chief among those, and we got a big one this weekend, and that's where my focus is right now, as opposed to evaluating hires or units.
Mike, are you satisfied with the rest of your team's game right now when you look at past performances, if you were able to shore up some of the turnover problems and things like that, feeling confident about victory the next 2 weeks?
The turnover element and the turnover ratio is a big element of the discussion for us in terms of us being where we are largely right now and recently where we are. You can't remove that. Obviously, we got to do a better job of protecting the football. And when we don't, we got to do a better job of overcoming it in other areas, and we haven't done that.
Does your offense allow for more ways to highlight Heath as a primary receiver more, as Ben was discussing, or is his role still primarily to be a second or third option?
You know, the guy caught 7 balls in the game. That's pretty good.
What do you guys see out of Justin King that made you guys, you know, want to bring him in?
You know, we're very familiar with him, obviously, with his background. He's played a lot of football. He's got youth and experience, and he was available. We work guys out that are on those lists, short lists, if you will, periodically, and we were impressed when we worked him out a number of weeks ago. So when the opportunity presented itself to acquire someone in that position, it was a no-brainer for us.
Anything else? All right, go.
Great.